here. This is Seth Wars again from Channel 9 here with Rowan Miller. How you doing, bud?
Hey, thanks.
Let's see. We have some more stuff to talk about with Entity Framework 7. What do we want to talk about now?
Next, I want to talk about a new feature, something folks asked for a lot on EF6, which is the ability to define alternate keys. Now, an alternate entities always have a primary key,
right?
They have something, usually a numeric number that represents that entity. It's a unique identifier. But we know in a real world, entities usually have other unique identifiers too. So if I'm a person, another unique identifier is probably my social security number.
One would hope.
Or if I'm hopefully not duplicated. If I'm a car, then the state and license plate number are probably a unique identifier for my car.
As a composite key.
Yeah.
But being an alternate key.
Yes, exactly.
Because the VIN is also a good key.
Yeah. Now, as well as these things being unique, it's nice to be able to define references that target these properties.
I see.
And so I might want to have a speeding ticket that says the state and the license plate number, and then I'd love to be able to join that data to the car that it applies to.
Got it.
All right, so let's jump into some code and see what this looks like in EF7.
Let's do
it. All right. So blogs and posts, like what you used to.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice that post has a URL. Now, URL should be unique, right?
Absolutely.
Two posts should not have the same URL.
Right.
All right. Scrolling down, I've also introduced the idea of a trackback. So this is somebody else has referenced my blog post from their website or blog post or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to get notified about that. When I get notified, I'm going to know the URL of the post that they referred to. So somebody might be blogging saying, hey, I just saw this really great post on the ADA.net blog. Here's a link to it. And then I'm going to get some data back.
And that's cool because this is a real world scenario where someone outside of your organization or your blog has no idea what your blog ID number is, and neither do they care.
Absolutely.
But they know about the post URL.
Yeah. Now, what I could do in my system is I could get the post URL and go and look up the blog ID, the post ID, and then use that instead. But it doesn't really make much sense because I know I can uniquely identify a post by its URL.
Right.
So you'll see I've defined the navigation properties here. A trackback has the post it belongs to. The post has a list of its trackbacks.
Okay.
So we're going to look at wiring up this relationship. Instead of targeting the primary key of post, it's going to use the post URL property.
And again, to be clear, these are just plain old C# objects.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, this is something we can't do with attributes. We're going to have to use the Fluent API for this. So the Fluent API, to use that, we override the onModelCreating method. And then we have this ModelBuilder class, which we can use to manipulate the shape of our model.
Right. And we saw a little bit of this before as well in the Entity Framework 6 era.
Absolutely. This is nothing new. This has been here since EF 4.1. So we're going to pull up the entity trackback. This allows me to do some configuration of this particular entity. Now we're going to start defining a relationship. Now the relationship API has actually changed a bit in EF 7. Instead of using with many and has one and some other methods that people found confusing, we're trying out a new API where we say trackback has a reference. And the reference is the post that it belongs to. And this is starting to use some terminology that we use throughout Entity Framework. We use reference and collection to refer to navigation properties.
Okay.
So we're going to say the navigation property on the inverse side of this, so the one that points back the other way, is post.trackbacks.
So this is defining from, because this is a one-to-many, obviously.
Yes. Yep.
And from the one side, the trackback's going to have one post.
Yep.
But you need to say from the other side, trackbacks have many, trackbacks might have many posts, is that what it's saying?
Other way around. So a trackback has a single post.
Got it.
A post has many trackbacks.
Okay.
Now this is just the API for defining a relationship. Now we get to start defining some more things about the relationship, like the foreign key. So trackback has a post URL property, which we're going to use as the foreign key. Now by default, if I left the relationship like this, it would try and use the primary key of post. But that's not what we want to use. So we're going to say the principal key, so the key on the principal end of the relationship, is the URL property from post. So now I've fully specified my relationship. I've said define the two navigation properties that make up the relationship, define the foreign key and the principal key that it points to.
So let's talk through this because I got it reversed because it's really easy to do that.
Yeah.
Let's talk through each thing sort of summarily so we can get a feel for how it works.
Absolutely. And I will say defining relationships is one of the most difficult problems in any framework.
And in life too, Rowan.
Yes.
And in life too.
It's complicated.
Right.
Facebook,
that's right.
Yeah.
There should be a dot is complicated extension method. Are you guys going to work on that?
We should.
Okay. The it's complicated extension method. Okay. Let's walk through it.
Okay. So I'm pulling up the configuration for trackback.
Okay.
So this is the place where I'm starting.
So just to get a reference in the model, a trackback is a single entity that posts to that is pointing to one post.
Yeah. It's saying somebody out there somewhere referenced my post in an article.
And so now if we go to the other end, which is the post end, the post is going to have tons of trackbacks.
Yeah.
One would hope.
Yes. Okay. Hopefully, you know, if it's well written. So we start by defining the reference. So this, you remember, the trackback object has a post property. Mm-hmm. Then we have to define the other side of the relationship, which is the trackbacks property on the post.
And the reason why it's an inverse collection is because a post has many trackbacks.
Yes, it has a one to many. So we have a reference and a collection.
Got it.
Then we define the foreign key.
From the perspective of the trackback.
Yes. Now we know that it's a foreign key. You know, IntelliSense is helping us out here.
Right.
Because it's a one to many and we've defined the reference, we know that the child entity is trackback.
Yeah.
So IntelliSense is helping us out by giving us a lambda against the trackback.
Okay.
And then inversely, we get to define the principal key, which could be the primary key or some other property.
Something else, yeah.
Now under the covers, EF is going to see that we're trying to use this as a principal key. So it will introduce a unique constraint on this property for us.
Got it.
Don't have to go and add that. All right, let's look at some code I've got that actually uses this model.
So is that unique constraint, I'm sorry, from the software side or from the database side?
Both.
Okay.
It's going to be treated as a unique property within our model. Will also translate to a unique constraint in the relational database.
So as soon as we make this change, there's going to be a migration that's going to happen to move it forward?
Okay. Now, for this particular demo, I'm actually not using migrations. I'm just kind of letting the database be created so we can focus on what the schema looks like.
Cool.
But yes, if I made this change, I would then add a migration to apply those changes to the schema.
Perfect. Okay, I understand.
And I would see the creation of a unique constraint and a foreign key relationship.
Perfect.
So scrolling up, I have a little bit of code here. You'll see I'm just hacking around, not really using migrations, just for the sake of demoing.
Yeah.
Yep. So we create a blog. We then create a post that references that blog. And we then create a trackback that references that post.
Okay.
So we've kind of got parent, child, child, child.
Right.
All right. We then go and add all three of those into the context and call save changes. So let's run this. Give it a minute to complete. Then we'll go look at the database. So I'll just refresh this because we just ran. So we have blog, post, and trackbacks. If we look at post, we'll see there is now a unique index on the post URL. And if we scroll down to trackback, we'll see we have the post URL set up as a foreign key.
Nice.
And interestingly, if we go look at the data, or as expected, I guess, we'll see the post URL is populated. Now what's interesting in EF, we have the option of either setting the navigation property, which would be trackback.post, mm-hmm. or the foreign key, which would be trackback.posturl.
Mm-hmm.
And EF will kind of take care of working out the others.
I see.
So in our particular sample code, we set just the navigation property here. And EF took care of populating the URL from the post into the trackback URL property for us, so the post URL. All right, so that's just a new thing that's possible in EF7. This was made possible because we're kind of reinventing the core, shedding some of the baggage we had. This feature would have been extremely expensive to implement on top of EF6, but now in EF7 with a new lighter weight core, we're able to implement some of these features.
Well, this is awesome. So alternate keys, Framework 7.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Cool.
Thanks for watching, and hopefully we'll have a couple more so you can look at about EF7. Take care. We'll see you next time.